This is the Personal Finance Show.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Personal Finance Show. I'm your host, Bo Humphreys. This is the first of a three-part series I'm calling the Sibos Interviews. What is Sibos, you ask? Well, Sibos, spelled S-I-B-O-S, stands for Swift International Banking Operations Seminar, which sounds really, really boring, but it has become much more than a seminar about banking operations. Every year since 1978, the Sibos Conference has been held in a different city around the world. Today, 8,000 people from around the world attend Sibos, with the highest attendance being 9,600 in Amsterdam in 2010. This year, the Sibos conference was to be held in Toronto, so I applied for a press pass, and I got it. The delegate pass would have cost me 3,200 euros, so let's just say the only way I could attend such an event would be with press credentials. The SWIFT organization is responsible for the Sibos conference. SWIFT is another acronym. It stands for the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. Basically, for many years, SWIFT has been the only way to send money from a bank in one country to a completely different bank in another country. The conference is not just about the world's banks getting together, but also about innovation and technology. To quote the Sibos website, the preeminent annual conference and exhibition connects more than 8,000 executives, decision makers, and thought leaders from financial institutions, market infrastructures, multinational corporations, and technology partners. Sibos facilitates debate, networking, and business collaboration that collectively shapes the future of payments, securities, cash management, and trade. As I mentioned, the Sibos interviews is in three parts, and this is part one. Part one of the series gives you a quick introduction to three fintech companies that were part of the Canadian Fintech Corner: LendingLoop, Milo, and Wave. Part two is my Canadian Fintech Showcase, where I interview Chad Sicello, co-founder of Dojo. Part three is an interview that could only have happened at Sibos. Part three is the East African episode, where I interview a group of amazing fintech leaders from Uganda, and we discuss the state of banking in East Africa. So let's get started with episode one and LendingLoop. I originally interviewed the co-founders of LendingLoop for episode two of the Personal Finance Show, so when I saw that they were set up at Sibos in the Canadian Fintech Corner, I knew that I wanted to include them in episode one. Here's my chat with LendingLoop co-founder Cato Pastel.
For people who don't know anything about LendingLoop, why don't you tell us a little bit about the company?
Yeah, so LendingLoop's a peer-to-peer lending platform. What we do is allow individual investors, people like yourself and myself, to lend their money to small and medium-sized businesses that are looking for financing. So these are local mom-and-pop shops, yoga studios, restaurants, retail stores that are looking for a better and more affordable way to borrow money.
That sounds great to me. Just to fill everybody in, we did a full podcast on LendingLoop a little while back. So if you want to get more detail on that, go to the previous episodes if you're listening to the podcast now. LendingLoop, I think it's pretty great. I mean, and you guys are growing, right?
Yeah, we are. Our team is growing, and we actually just crossed the $10 million mark in loans put out. So
$10 million in lending? That's crazy. So, I mean, how many small businesses is that?
Just about 200 different small businesses that have benefited from using the platform, and that's just over the last year. So
that's great. And why do they not go to banks again?
Yeah, so banks won't lend to the segments just because they're too small. These are great small businesses, but if you're under $500,000, banks really don't look at them as small businesses. They look at them as individuals.
I see.
So even though they may have a great small business that generates great cash flow and is really strong and stable, the bank simply looks at them as an individual unless they're looking for more than $500,000. So we're really targeting this segment because there's a lot of strong businesses that should be able to get affordable financing, but they've just kind of been left behind.
This isn't because they're a crazy huge risk. I mean, I know you do rate the businesses differently depending on how risky they are, but nothing's like you're going to lose your money just because the banks didn't go for it. It's because of regulation, or their regulation.
And size as well. Like, so they have so much you know, they have so much overhead and infrastructure. I mean, we're here today. You can see just how much they
spend. There's so many banks. this place. I don't know, you know. Like, they're probably taking in $30 million in just conference fees by itself. This is pretty massive.
Right. So, I mean, you see how much they spend and how much overhead they have. They have branches. They have, you know, risk. They have underwriting. They have sales. Between all of that, it's a very expensive process for them to actually originate a loan. So it's not profitable for a bank to lend to these customers. So that's really the challenge that the bank has, is they're all great businesses, but for the bank to do a $50,000 loan just doesn't make sense, because it's too small for the bank to actually consider as profitable. They'd rather do a $5 million or a $50 million loan.
So why are you doing it, right? Where's the profit for you?
Well, because we're a small team and we've built everything using technology, we can actually run and operate a profitable business despite having smaller loan volume. So we can do a $5,000 loan and still make money on that loan because of the way we're structured. We have no branches, we have no network. It's entirely online. And also, we're connecting them to individuals. So it's not like we have money and we're the ones who are actually lending it.
You're not the lender. Yeah, exactly.
And you know, you've got an account, right?
What, so, were you looking at my account before I got here? Yeah, no, I did put in the $200 minimum, and I invested in four companies, I think 50 apiece. And what they do is they just pay back slowly, right?
Yeah, every month.
Every month, so I get a little bit of that $50 from each company every month for how long?
So it depends. Every business is different. So okay. It can be as little as, you know, 3 months, but it can go up to 5 years. And the average is usually around 2 or 3 years. So you'll probably be paid back, you know, over 2 or 3 years plus interest, of course. So
gotcha. You're
not just getting your money back, you're also getting interest in return.
Well, the $50 over 5 years sounds like, you know, I'm getting pennies a month. But that, it's the whole idea here is helping small business that can't be helped. And a lot, like, your businesses are all accessible. You can talk to them, right?
Yeah.
You can chat with them online. It's really kind of a great system. And why would you come here to Sibos? What is the benefit here, and what is Sibos to you?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things. One is just seeing what's going on in the industry generally, networking with peers and seeing how we can collaborate to bring better solutions to market for individuals, for the 36 million Canadians that, you know, are out there and looking for better ways to get access to financial products
better
and services.
In different ways, yeah.
And the other is also seeing kind of what the incumbents, what the large institutions are doing, seeing kind of how they're adapting to the changes in the landscape, and seeing if there's any ways for us to play alongside them as well.
I just saw somebody down at the InnoTribe section of this place talk about how big banks are like Babylon in 329 AD or BC, I don't even remember. But he had this whole historical analogy, and basically Facebook is the, you know, the people who come in and like basically divert the river and invade Babylon.
Right.
Because they have data, and you know, you guys are all about data, all about using technology to make things easier and more convenient for people. So that's what a lot of this conference is about for me, and how banking and the way everybody uses financial services is changing basically like every day.
Yeah, and you know, on that point, what we're really trying to do at the end of the day is give both sides a better deal. We want to give Canadians a better deal because they should be getting more for their money, and their money should be working harder for them. And we want to give small businesses a better deal because they shouldn't have to pay their right arm and left leg to get access to financing. And, you know, given how the market is right now, both of those sides have kind of been left out. You know, the retail market doesn't have access to a lot of really attractive investment products. And we want to kind of give the, you know, people a new way to access a more attractive way to lend.
That's great. So how can people get this started? Where do they go?
Yeah, just go to lendingloop.ca and you can create an account as a lender. It takes about 2 to 3 minutes to sign up, and from there you can start viewing the different businesses that are looking for financing, and if you like one, you can lend to them.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot for chatting with me at this massive event here, Cato, and we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Yeah, hope so. And it's great catching up with you. Thanks again.
So you can hear the passion that Cato has for helping small businesses get the funding they need, and that's because both Cato and co-founder Brandon grew up with parents with small businesses. This isn't just about making money for them. As Cato said, they came to Sibos to see how they could collaborate with others to help bring funding to those who need it and can't get it through traditional means. It's always good to chat with Lending Loop, and congrats to the whole team for hitting the 10 million mark. Next up is Milo. Milo is a smartphone app that is fairly new and currently only available on the iOS App Store, but they're working on Android beta, so stay tuned for that. Here's Dr. Liam Chung from Milo to tell us more.
Welcome, Liam.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Milo and why it's important for individual Canadians to be aware of you guys and then use you guys.
Well, I'm what you would call come from the traditional world of finance, where I spent 25 years coming up with innovations in brokerage and in financial management. And when I met Phil from Milo, I was really impressed with what this could potentially do for the rest of Canadians. I've spent my entire career helping wealthy people get wealthier. And
they're good, right? They don't need our help anymore.
Well, you know, they're very well serviced. They do need help, but they are very well serviced.
But there's always going to be someone.
There's always someone to service
them. Take their money and service them. But the
Absolutely.
Little people like us, like me, who's helping them?
Right. And so I saw a huge opportunity there to be able to take some of the innovations that we've been able to do in financial management, especially in lowering the cost of financial management for people, and to have that apply more broadly to Canadians.
So what does Milo do exactly then for individual Canadians?
So what Milo does is it allows Canadians to save small amounts of money, and we invest that money on their behalf. So it's a fully advised model. So they set up a goal. Our portfolio managers decide on a portfolio that's suitable for them and suitable for their goal and invest it in a portfolio of stocks, bonds, and money market, and allows them to save $1 or $2 or $5 the same way that somebody else would save $800,000 or $1 million. And so they can fully invest in a fully diversified portfolio at a very, very low cost. So we do not charge any management fees. Essentially, they pay their $1 a month and they get what I consider to be the right kind of portfolios for almost anybody to invest in. And that would be a fully diversified portfolio at an extremely low cost to invest.
I'll agree with you on that one. So I have a bank account already. I'm an individual. And so let's say I have a Tangerine bank account. Does that work for you?
Absolutely.
Okay, yep. So now I sign up with Milo, and then how do I start investing these dollars or $2?
After you sign up with Milo, your job is pretty much done.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it, is that there's very little effort on your behalf to start to save.
Okay, so what happens? So I make a purchase, or?
That's right. So you make a purchase. Let's say you make a purchase of a coffee in the morning.
Okay, yep.
For $3.25. We see that transaction through our link with Tangerine.
Sure.
And so what we would do is we would add up all the roundups. So that would be a $3.25 coffee buy. We round that up to $4.
Okay.
And we see, that's 75 cents that we should save. And at the end of the week, we add up all of those roundups and we withdraw it from your primary bank account and put it into a trust account that's in trust for all of our clients. Our portfolio manager will then review your risk and your goals and assign a portfolio for you. And then we will invest that money into a portfolio of ETFs that matches what your risk tolerance is and what your goal is. So in fact, it is a fully advised, fully automated savings choice at a very, very low cost that allows people to start saving.
Well, that's great because, and like you said, there's nothing I do except for fill out a risk profile at the beginning and then just tell you what, do you always round up to the next dollar, is that it?
So currently
we
have
decide.
So currently we round up to the next dollar. In our next release, we drew a lot of demand from our users.
Okay.
We're going to allow a few more choices. So
sure.
For example, to double up or triple up your roundups. We currently have boosts where you can do one-time contributions, where you can put in an amount every week that you want to put in.
Why not?
Yeah, and so we've had a lot of people pick up boosts. So they've been accelerating their savings towards their goals. So every week we see more and more people kind of adding to that roundup to get to their goals faster.
I like this model because there's a lot of talk lately about forced savings and how people, as much as they might want to, they have trouble saving on their own. They need at least something to help them. And I think people get a mortgage and say, okay, well, I have to pay my mortgage, so that's forced. But this seems a little more accessible for an everyday person who's not maybe becoming a homeowner to just get it started.
Correct. And we have a lot of people who are come onto the system, and if I look at the goals that people set, a lot of them are saving for their first time mortgage or their down payment for their house. And so this really kind of appeals to that group that is kind of pre-getting that mortgage. Although we do have people all the way up to, 50, 60 years old who just love it for the innovation of it.
Well,
and
that's me. I like that technology aspect of it, and that, you're just going to take a little bit out, and then at the end of the week I have whatever is the nearest dollar. I like that, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a way, you know, we're doing our little bit. Certainly we're allowing access to something that, to a group of people that did not have access to it before. But we're also doing, I think, our part for financial literacy, because when you think about financial literacy, we think about having people starting to think about risk, having people starting to think about how they're going to approach saving for the rest of their lives. And this is a great way for them to get started in an easy way, 3-minute sign-up process that doesn't require a lot of effort on their part, and gets them to start thinking about how they're going to save and what savings means to them, what their risk, their attitudes towards risk are. These are all very important kind of steps towards having financial literacy.
It's so important. You know, I'm a personal finance coach. It's what I do for a living. And financial literacy is everything for me, and they don't teach it, right? They don't teach it in schools. They're starting. But even then, that's just a little bit. They don't teach you enough to instill the importance of starting early and what a difference that makes. If you try to explain to a 20-year-old, if you just put a couple of dollars away a week, you're going to be a millionaire, they'll hear you, but they won't hear you. And so anything you can do to encourage that or make it easier for people, I fully support that for sure.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of people who check the app certainly once a week. They see how their roundups are doing. It's kind of that Monday transfer is kind of an interesting time for people because they get to really see how they progress on a week-to-week basis. And again, it requires so little effort, and yet they can kind of see results accumulate over time.
And they're also looking at their spending. They have to be looking at that as they're going. So if you spend $3.25 on a coffee, rounds up to $4, you might think, wow, I'm spending $4 on a coffee.
Right.
At least
right.
You're aware of that. At least you're not as blind to it, because I'm sure if people are making the decision to stay with Milo and they're looking at their roundups, or the sum of them anyway, and they say, oh, wow, where did this come from? How do I have so much? And maybe it'll trigger them to review their spending, or at least be aware of what they're doing. And I think like that's the first step for anyone, to track and spend. And so the cost is $1 a month?
Is that $1 a month?
$1 a month, so like $12 a year. And do you have an average of what typical Canadians are putting away, or sort of what are they rounding up to? Is this a number that you have to share?
Or? I think Phil has the exact number.
Okay.
But I would say it's you know, people are doing $60, $70 a week with the current just one-time roundup.
Sure.
And so as we add kind of these boosts and the multipliers, people will be able to get a lot more.
And there's no worry that, you know, people can afford this. It's just a couple of little bits. If they could buy the coffee, they can spend another 75 cents, which they might have done anyway if they went to a different place. So, I think this is all good. It's all, you know, of course, these are all individual decisions, but it's really nice to have so many options out there for whom this would work way better than just deciding to put a, you know, automatic savings plan in effect. And it's more engaging, I think.
It is more engaging, and the product offers something that not only just the rounding up, but the investing side as well. And so that investment opportunity with funds that have zero management fee, where we're picking up all of the expenses.
That's a great bonus.
It's a big bonus. I mean, you can kind of trust that every dollar that you're putting in is going directly into getting you a return. And we decided very early on that we did not want to charge anything based on the amount of money in the accounts, so that we're fully aligned with people's goals. So we're not getting paid based on how much money they have in their account. And so when they hit their goal and they withdraw their money, we're entirely happy because we've helped them meet their goal.
That's a pretty, I'm not going to say bold, but it's a great move on your part, on behalf of the consumer. So if someone decides, you know, they're putting in $100,000 or whatever they can boost it to, or they eventually get there, you're not getting 10% of that or 5 or 1 or 0.5%. You're getting your dollar a month.
You're always going to get
your dollar a month.
Exactly right.
That's very different than anything else that's out there right now.
We do put them into ETFs, and there are fees in the ETFs, but we choose, my philosophy is that you choose an ETF that has the broadest diversification at the lowest cost possible.
Yeah.
So really it's 0.007.
Really?
So the
MERs that you have on those ETFs, they just come out of the ETF returns themselves.
That's right. Yeah.
Barely noticeable for these low-cost ETFs, but you don't charge anything on top of that.
Nothing.
And typically, robo-advisors would charge about 0.5, somewhere between 0.4 and 0.5% as a fee to you on an annual basis.
That's correct.
So you're not doing that. $1 a month, I'm sure, depending, will end up being less than that 0.5% a year that you can get with the competitors.
And you're getting the benefit of all of the roundups and transfers every week.
That's a lot of activity for you.
Of activity, and that activity is what makes it so engaging.
Yeah.
And also makes it less painful for the user to do that saving. So
well, that's
great. It's an important part of it.
Well, you know, thanks so much for talking to me today. So we're here at Sibos. Is this your first time here?
It's my first Sibos, that's right. Yeah,
me too. Can you believe the scale of this thing? It's every single possible room here at the Metro Toronto Convention Center is full.
Absolutely. I was just in a session which was standing room only. People were trying to pack in there. It was unbelievable.
This is all about the future of finance and payments, financial services, and it affects everybody. You know, no matter that a lot of these things might be just talking about back-end regulations, which I'm tending to avoid those ones anyway. But a lot of this is, it impacts all of us directly. And so it's an important place to be.
It is. And it's interesting to see the types of people are here and the questions that people are asking. A lot of questions about regulation and making sure that consumers are safe.
That is important,
so
isn't it?
It's a huge part of the conversation here.
Cybersecurity is a big topic. As everything gets a little more cyber, if you will, the security part of it becomes way more important. So like we're talking about retinal scans and more behavioral security. So like it's not just you type in your password, but other things like, do they know it's you based on your behavior? I know people are talking about that a lot, but it's got to all kind of catch up, because you can't have everything online and then have the ability to break in be very easy.
Right, absolutely. So I mean, I just came from a blockchain talk where they had the central bankers. So they had the European Central Bank, Payments Canada, who is here kind of with the Central Bank of Canada.
Everybody's here from around the world. This is a very international situation going on. I'm happy to see so many fintechs here, Canadian fintechs too, being represented here at Sibos. So thanks, and hopefully I'll talk to you again.
Thanks again.
I want to thank Liam for introducing me to Milo. I'm an Android guy, so I'm looking forward to that release. But if you have an iPhone, go ahead and give Milo a try. To finish up episode one of the Sibos interviews, I have Rob Morin from Wave. Wave can be found at waveapps.com, and they're not a new company. They've been around since 2010. But they are recently new to me, and they may be new to you, despite the fact that they currently have 2.8 million customers around the world. Ever since I met Rob from Wave at their Toronto office a few months ago, I knew I needed to tell people about this great Canadian company. So here's Rob to tell you about Wave.
This is a pretty incredible event. The concentration of international banking superpowers that are going on here, it's something to see.
How many times a year do you get like 8,000 people from around the world into one place?
Yeah.
And the things that can happen here. And well, one of the things is this Canadian FinTech Corner. And there's eight different every day. And Wave is one of them today. So welcome, Rob. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we met at the NewCo thing. Well, it feels like a month ago, I guess, maybe. And I got to see the Wave headquarters here in Toronto. Wave is how many customers or clients do you have?
Just shy of 3 million customers around the world.
So 3 million around the world, but they've always been here in the city. And it's important to mention the Elevate Toronto Festival and NewCo were all about telling people about the Canadian talent that we have and companies that are here that people don't even realize. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Wave? What does Wave do, and you know, why are you here at Sibos?
Right. So Wave makes financial software and services for small business owners. When we say small, we're actually focusing on small, not small and medium, which is the way that much of the industry goes, right? They roll small and medium together as if it's the same kind of business, as if it's the same kind of need. We look at it as being a really distinct thing, right? If you're a one-person operation running your own business, you've got very specific way of running your finances that may or may not align with what an accounting textbook says you should do, but nonetheless, you're going to have your own specific way of running your finances, and we want to be part of that solution. So we've got the software side, which is accounting, invoicing, receipt scanning, and personal finance, and the software is 100% free.
I like that.
Free is not bad.
Free is the best. especially when you're in what I like to think of a small business, as you said, of one person.
Exactly.
You need free.
Right. Especially if you're a brand new business, you're just getting started. You don't want to spend a lot of money on things where you feel it might be not essential. That leads a lot of small business owners to run their, you know, for most small business owners, their financial management tool is a shoebox.
Yes.
That's more than just a joke or a cliche. It is actually true. I've been there myself. And we continue to speak with customers who continue to admit that that is how they used to run their finances. So by offering this free software, and it's not a free limited version or a free trial or anything like that, it's just full on free, we're giving our customers some tremendous value there. Our software is award-winning software. We've got PC Magazine's Editor's Choice Award for software in our category. So it's spectacular software, and we give that, like I said, we give that away for free, which really helps us build tremendous scale. We've got 60 to 70,000 businesses around the world registering with Wave every single month. And that's, you know, because we're giving something away that's of super high quality at $0 cost. And then in addition to the software side, we've got our financial services side. So that's credit card processing, payroll, and lending, so loans and lines of credit, that are embedded inside the Wave software. And that's where our revenue comes from. So if you need credit card processing or payroll or lending, and you choose to use Wave solutions, then Wave makes some money from it. If you choose to not use any of those solutions, by all means, you're still welcome, and Wave would continue to be completely free for you.
So you get the free software, which is great, and then once you've been using it for a little bit, and you're like, wow, I need to be able to accept payments, it's probably just a quick process to set that up.
Yeah,
right?
Click of a button inside the Wave application online, and you know, you're just about set up, that's all there is to it. And you can start accepting Visa, MasterCard, American Express on all of your invoices.
And then you get some employees and you're like, I need payroll now, how am I gonna do that? Well, you already have this infrastructure. It was free. The good thing about free software is you don't really even have to take Rob's word for it. You can actually just go and get it because it's free.
Absolutely.
Right?
And your
no
point
risk.
Right. And your point though about when you need payroll, you just jump in and you're all set up. The thing that brings to mind for me is when you're, so let's say I'm a carpenter and I decide to quit my day job because now I'm going to focus on carpentry full time. And okay, great. So I've got my business as a carpenter. In most cases, for most small business owners, using the carpenter example, I know carpentry, but I don't know finance, right? I've never been trained in accounting.
You shouldn't be. I mean, we'd all be geniuses. I wish I could be a rocket scientist, but I'm not.
Right. So I know my trade, I know my skill, I know the service or product or whatever it is that I'm offering to my customers, but I don't know how to do the bookkeeping. I understand the concept of an invoice, but I might not necessarily even know what to include on my invoice. And then even more so on the payroll side, right, once my business is successful enough that I need to hire an assistant or something like that, I'm now under obligation to do payroll taxes and all the other deductions and withholdings, and nobody has trained me in how to do that either. So you've got these brave entrepreneurs who are going out into the market trying to do their thing, and every single time they get a little more successful, they hit another level of obligation, of red tape, of complication that's going to get in the way of their success. And I don't mean to go on some sort of a libertarian tear here. I am going to maintain an agnostic position on what the government should or shouldn't do, but the reality is that business owners face these things that constrain their ability to be successful. And our goal here at Wave is to, how do we jump in and take away those complicating factors around the financial side of your business and help you do what you do? In other words, help get the financial work out of your way so that you can then focus on carpentry or photography or massage therapy or whatever it is that your thing is.
Well, I always found it was strange for someone to have to be an expert chef and then have to be an expert at bookkeeping too. It's the only thing, like, we don't expect it to be the other way around. If someone's a bookkeeper, we don't expect them to be able to, you know, perform surgery or, you know, do their own legal documents. Being an administrator is not something that we're supposed to contract out unless we have tons and tons of money. I don't understand that, right? You know, I'm an administrative guy myself, so I know how to do all this stuff. But a lot of the people I do know who are creative, especially, they don't think in that way, nor do they want to, nor is it enjoyable for them to do this stuff like it is for me. That's why I went into this career, because I like admin stuff, I like spreadsheets, but it's not for everybody. this is a great, really great sort of option. Free, upgrade. Everyone loves free.
Thank you, yeah. It would be horribly inefficient if we expected everybody to learn the skills behind their business plus, you know, the deep skills required to be a proper accountant or bookkeeper on top of that.
Yeah, but it seems like it's the world is set up that way, and everyone feels shame that they don't know how to set up payroll. And, well, you shouldn't know how to do it. So that's, well, you guys come in for that.
And one side is, you know, this is scary and complicated. The other side is you're going to get penalized if you do it wrong, right? Like, this is a place where you can't get it wrong. There isn't any leeway for getting it wrong, or there's going to be penalties, whether it's tax penalties or something worse.
Yeah, I don't know if people realize, like, if you hire somebody, you can't just say, hey, come work for me and I'll pay you some money every 2 weeks. There are things to file with the government. There are taxes, of course, to pay, right? Payroll taxes are one of them, but then there's also things to consider, like, I don't know, WSIB, like, you know, workers' safety, things like that. Like, you open up a big can of something when you decide to have employees, and you need all the help you can get when it comes to adding those into your business, right?
Right. Yeah, and well, we, like I said, we're aiming to be part of the solution there to help these entrepreneurs get more successful and do their thing.
Why did you guys decide on free? There are quote-unquote competitors in the accounting side that charge monthly, the software as a service model,
yep,
and you pay every month. And it's not a lot, but it's something that could make a dent into a small business's budget.
Right.
How'd you guys make that choice?
So obviously we looked at different pricing models. We wondered, should we price match our competitors? Should we undercut our competitors by a small amount? The thing is, this sort of speaks to the fact that being in the cloud is part of Wave's DNA, and it might not be part of the DNA of our competitors. So the most famous of our competitors obviously would have their installed version of their software. That's where they came from, and then they migrated to cloud software, and they're trying to retain the customer base that they've got in their installed software and the revenue stream that comes from that.
So they're converting people from, they already had a desktop version, people are using on the computers, and then they're trying to say, hey, please come to the cloud,
absolutely,
please come with us, but you started there.
Right, and since we're in the cloud, we don't have to look at, are we at risk of losing revenue that we already have if we were to switch to a different pricing model? Instead, coming, being a cloud-first application, we get to look at it very much the way that Facebook looked at making revenue, or Google looked at making revenue, or something like that, which is to say, the cost to us, since it's all in the cloud, there's no cost of distribution. I don't need to package up software and put it on a shelf at Staples and get people to buy it there. The cost of distribution to us, and the cost to us of carrying one additional customer, is super low, right?
Yeah.
Approaching zero. And at that point, you get into conversations that are super interesting, saying, all right, if we charge for it, maybe we can sign up 100 customers at $10 a month. But if we gave it for free, does that mean we might get 10,000 customers or 100,000 customers and find a different way of monetizing our product, a different way of driving revenue? And that was really the starting point around pricing with Wave. And so we're giving away the software for free. Because of that, we're signing up 60 to 70,000 brand new businesses around the world every single month.
Every month. I don't know if everyone's hearing that
clearly.
This is every month. So that's a lot of people. And so a lot of people who are vetting your software daily, making sure that if you got a problem with it, they tell you.
Yep.
And for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, since 2010.
Since 2010. So they're basically, they refine this product. And I have a Wave account, but I haven't started using it yet. But I am pretty tempted if I wasn't already set up in another system. So we'll see what happens with me, because the more that I learn about Wave, the more that I'm thinking, this is what you guys do, and you do it well.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, like I said, PC Mag Editor's Choice Award, a whole bunch of other awards pointing to the fact that, you know, we've got some really sweet products here. But because we're offering the software for free, like I said, we're signing up 60 to 70,000 new customers a month. And then through the software, we weave in these financial services that we offer, the credit card processing, the payroll, and the lending. And so we're going to drive some revenue from some customers through that process. And with some customers, we're not going to get any revenue in the short term at all. It's a small business, it's brand new, and maybe they don't need any of the things that we are currently charging money for. But when they need it, somewhere down the road, like we touched on earlier, right? We're there at a click of a button, and we can make their lives easier.
Yeah, and when they do need it, you know, they've already used your software for a little bit, and they probably like it if they're still using it. And no matter what, when you add these things, like I need to process credit cards or I need to have payroll, it's not free anywhere. So you're not going to, you don't have, you know, other options that are free to use. So why wouldn't you use the software, you know, that you trust already?
Right.
I think it's a good model because you're right. Not everybody needs it. Nobody's forced to use it. And it's there for them when they do need it.
Right. Right. And the other thing that I'll add in is free is great. Free is really great. But we, you know, we think the value of Wave is a whole lot more than just that we're not asking you for $10 a month for software.
Yeah.
So among the advantages that come with the software on the one side with the financial services woven through it and all of that, is the fact that you get to run your entire business in one place rather than accepting payments over here, doing your bookkeeping over there, and you're invoicing somewhere else, and then you're trying to move figures from, you know, application one to application two. We call it swivel chair integration, right? You just keep on rotating around from one screen to another, trying to bring your business all together, and you're spending a lot of valuable time wasted to try to just reconcile what your different systems are doing, where in Wave, it's all in one place. You, when you create an invoice and you send it out and then it gets paid using the credit card processing functionality and all this sort of thing, in another system configuration, this might mean three or four different systems that you need to touch. With Wave, it's all just there, and your invoice is automatically, you know, the credit card processing happens in the credit card processing part of Wave, but your invoice gets marked paid automatically, and that income gets automatically accounted for in your bookkeeping. And all through the system, all of these pieces talk to each other, meaning you never need to waste time doing work more than once when you could really just have it all in one place.
That sounds really great. And so you're here at Sibos. And so what are you here to achieve that would be of benefit to your clients? Say, what's going to come of the connections here at the conference that would help people who are using Wave now in the future?
We have lots of interesting conversations going on with major banks around the world. We just last week announced a partnership with Royal Bank of Canada where our technology, where Wave's software is now being embedded deeply within the RBC online banking experience. And so we're interested in continuing those conversations with other banks around the world. And the goal here, among others, is using the RBC example, where beforehand the RBC customer had to log into their RBC online banking to check their balances and maybe move money from one account to another and, you know, make a payment on your credit card, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they had to go somewhere else to do their accounting and their bookkeeping and all of this other sort of stuff. Again, the goal was, how do we bring all of these pieces into one place, make the systems talk to each other better than they already do, in order to simplify the financial existence of the small business owner, make it possible for them to do all of their work in one place without redundancy, without wasted steps. And then even getting into, and this is maybe one or two steps down the road, but even getting into providing better levels of service around these financial products. So if in the Wave system somebody had issued, let's say, $2,000 of invoices that are overdue, and this has become a cash flow problem for them, is it possible for RBC to jump into this conversation and offer them a line of credit on those invoices to help them continue to manage their business better? That's hypothetically the sort of place where this kind of integration can continue to help the small business owners.
That's great, because the more everyone's connected, like the more information that a bank has about a business and the kind of products or service they provide, the more they can trust them, the more you can trust them, the more everybody just is aware, right? All this disconnection really just makes everything harder. So if I want my bank to be one of your next partners, do I send, and I'm a Wave client, do I send you an email? And then if you get like a whole bunch of emails, then you can send them to the bank and say, look, you're next, right?
That would be great, sure. And people can reach us at info@waveapps.com. We'd be happy to hear from them and hear which banks they consider most important. Or equally important, reach out to your bank and say, hey, listen, Wave is doing this thing with RBC. I want my bank to do that too. it would be great to have the people at the banks become more aware of the things that matter to their customers.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems like this kind of thing might not make a difference, but, you know, if you do it and maybe a couple of thousand other people do it, then they will notice, and this is the only way to start the connections that we need. So, well, thanks so much for talking to me today, Rob.
Thanks, Bob.
And that's episode one of the Sibos interviews. Thanks to Cato from Lending Loop, Liam from Milo, and Rob from Wave for taking the time to chat with me. Next time on the Personal Finance Show, I have Chad from Dojo for episode two of the Sibos interviews. I met Chad earlier this year at the Payments Canada Summit, and I was really impressed by his product. Dojo is an app that works with a bank card and a real bank account to help improve financial literacy in kids. Chad's really the best at explaining it, so if you're intrigued, please tune in next week. If you enjoyed this episode of the Personal Finance Show, please listen to the previous episodes and subscribe to the podcast. Also, check out my blog at investwisely.ca. I would love to hear from you, good or bad, but hopefully good. So please, if you have anything to tell me, email me at bo@investwisely.ca.